Hello.
Hey there. Welcome into this Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here with you. I'm your sometimes humble host for this sometimes hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. It is Monday, the fourth day of May, 2020. May the 4th be with you. And hopefully you had a good weekend. I know. For some of us, the weekend is just like every other day, but for the rest of us, we do have weekends where the routine breaks and everything changes, and we can do things, stuff that needs to be done. And it's funny, saying that, I realized there were two or three things that I intended to get done over the weekend that didn't get done, which will probably happen once the podcast is completed today. I hope you're doing well. Hope everybody in your circle, in your world, is doing well, that you and yours are fine, and that the weekend treated you well, and that you're looking forward to a good week. It's, as far as news goes over the weekend, aside from the president doing a big town hall thing last night on Fox News, that a lot of people are not really happy with Fox News about, and not because they hate President Trump, is because it's like, excuse me, but who comes up with these questions? Aside from that, really not much of a news weekend. So there are a handful of stories that are coronavirus related, and we'll be dealing with those as we press forward with the day. There's a bit going on with Joe Biden. Now, you remember, we broke apart Joe Biden's statement. I believe it was on Friday. We broke his statement apart. Was it Friday? I think it was. The days are all running together for me, too. So, see, where he said that the claims that Tara Reid have made should be investigated by the mainstream press. They should be looking into it. Well, guess what's happening? The mainstream press is doing their darndest to tear her apart. It's starting to happen. I suggest you look that up today, because we are starting to see little stories popping up, which may or may not be true, but the mainstream press is beginning to publish things, which some could be true and some definitely aren't true. And it's all to rip to shreds someone who is making an accusation about something that happened in the 90s, who, had she made this accusation against a Republican presidential candidate, these same people, well, if the shoe was on the other foot, let's say, this situation wouldn't be the same. Remember the Kavanaugh hearings. They wouldn't be looking into these people. They didn't look into Christine Blasey Ford. They didn't look into the other people. It was conservative media that did that. And conservative media and conservatives who raised their hands and said, this person's a psycho. That person is known to be lying. This person has accused everybody who is a male individual of being of raping them. This person, and so this kind of thing happened from our side of the aisle, but not from the other. They didn't investigate these people and check into them. Conservative media did, and we found out things about them that were very disturbing. But now they are going after someone who's accusing Joe Biden of something. And we're also seeing more stories. There was a story of a 14-year-old. She's 26 now, but she said that 12 years ago that Biden looked at her and said, wow, you're very well endowed for 14. And that is really unacceptable. It's very unacceptable. You just don't say things like that to young girls. You just don't. And there are those who are saying, I saw a report over the weekend that said, there's no way this could have happened. Joe had surgery that week. He had appointees at this thing, but he wasn't there. And I don't know what's true and what's not. If it's coming from the mainstream press, you just don't know if it's real or not, because these people don't have a sense of truth anymore. They're relativists. They're postmodernists. They don't believe in absolute truth. And because there is no absolute, they will rationalize anything and everything to suit their agenda. So finding out the truth from the mainstream press is difficult. It's extremely difficult. They do occasionally get it right. But in the process of getting it right, they also slant things and tint things in such a way that they condemn those with whom they disagree, even though they're reporting the truth about something that happened. This happens with President Trump all the time, where they finally have to admit something, but in the process, they have the, oh yeah, but segment of the article. Oh yeah, but remember President Trump did this, did that, did this, and did that, and most of those things are not true. The fine people comment is one of those things they keep bringing up, among other things. They, for example, are, well, this is straying from that subject, but on to the going to the credibility or non-credibility of the press. During this town hall last night at the Lincoln Memorial, with that huge statue of Lincoln in the background, President Trump mentioned talking about his treatment by the press. That was the context. He was talking about the treatment he was receiving by the press. He mentioned that they were treating him, the press was treating him, probably. There was only one other president who had been treated as badly, and he thought he was being treated worse, and that was this guy right here. And he pointed at the president, President Lincoln's statue. He was, in context, in that moment, referring to treatment by the press. Nothing else. Just the way the press treats him. And the press treated President Lincoln horribly. Go look it up. The way they treated President Lincoln was awful. But they've been worse today, in this day and age, to President Trump. It's been ridiculous. But that same press, who treats him so badly, then proved what he said by taking him out of context and comparing his comment to the assassination of President Lincoln. Oh, President Trump compares himself to President Lincoln, says he's been treated worse than Lincoln, who was assassinated. And that was the general tone of practically all of the comments coming from the progressive press. Oh, the press has treated you badly? Worse than the president who got assassinated? And that's their take. It's juvenile. It's selfish. It's self-centered. It's idiotic. But there we have the progressive press. And that's how they've been treating the man. Since the day he came down the escalator, it's been a dogpile on Trump. And it's only going to get worse. Just know that. Between now and the election, it's just going to intensify. The shrieking, the shrillness, the pettiness, the absolute bald-faced lies, the attempts to catch the president in anything and everything which could result in removing him from office, it's just going to be dialing up between now and November. So get accustomed to that. That's not going away. Not at all in any way, shape, or form. It's not going to happen. And that's a shame. It's a real shame. Because we really do need the press to tell the truth about things that are going on. The press needs to tell the truth about creepy Uncle Joe. The press needs to tell us the truth about what happened to General Flynn. The press needs to tell us the truth about political corruption. The press needs to tell us the truth when politicians really lie to us about things of consequence. And I phrase it that way because I think the president does lie, but I think he lies for a purpose. Because he loves the way the press responds. And it gives him more ammunition. Because he's playing, at times, he's playing a very clever game of chess with these people. And he's outmatching them, turn by turn. We need the press to tell us when someone like Stacey Abrams of Georgia, who is actively campaigning to be Joe Biden's pick for vice president, We need the press to tell us when people like Stacey Abrams are lying to us, who are manipulating facts, who are ignoring the truth for political gain. We need the press to do their job, not to be political activists. We need the press to be neutral and to tell us the truth. And sadly, they can't do that because they've been taught by their progressive college professors and the like that there is no absolute truth. There is no true right or wrong. And the world, the interpretation of the world around them, depends on what they say it is. And that's a very sad thing. Because we do need the press to inform us truthfully, honestly, about the world around us. If we don't have that, then we are on our own. And fortunately, we do have the internet. We have means of finding things out. But there are so many progressives involved in big tech that it makes it difficult for us to really dig and to find the reality of situations. Which is why I encourage you on a regular basis to do your homework. That's why I tell you to get the show notes every day, to follow the links, to go deeper than I do in the time that I have, and to really find out the truth about what's happening, and to develop that sense of what is real and what is not, that good gut instinct that comes from seeing how things really are and how things are not. And when you do that, you'll watch the news and say to yourself, more often than not, that can't be true, which is what I find myself doing as I watch the news. And I'll see people come forward and make assertions or accusations. They'll allege that things have happened, and it just hits me a certain way, and I think, I'd love to talk about that on the podcast, but I'm not talking about it yet because there's something about that that's a bit on the hinky side. Yes, I said hinky. Develop that gut. Develop that instinct. Do your due diligence. Do your research. You'll be glad you did. Okay, moving along. First, before we get into all of that other nonsense, how about this? In case you doubted that 2020 couldn't get worse, here's two words for you. Murder hornets. The deadly Asian giant hornet. The largest sized species of hornets in the world has been discovered in the United States for the first time ever.
Bees! Bees everywhere! God, they're huge! They're ripping my flesh off! And I'm starting to swell up!
Save yourself! Don't be the hero!
They're huge and they're sting crazy!
Save yourself!
Your firearms are useless against them!
Holy shnikes, it worked. The Asian giant hornet is also known as murder hornets, the giant sparrow bee and the yak killer. The yak killer. The species is native to temperate and tropical eastern Asia. However, beekeepers in northwestern Washington State and Canada have found hundreds of decapitated honeybees, and that points to the presence of Asian giant hornets in North America. The Asian giant hornet preys on larger insects, such as praying mantises, wasps, and other hornets, as well as bees. The murder hornets also are so lethal that in a matter of hours, they can wipe out entire colonies of eusocial insects, including bees. An individual hornet can kill 40 European honeybees in 1 minute. The New York Times reports, with queens that can grow to 2 inches long, the Asian giant hornets can use mandibles shaped like spiked shark fins to wipe out a honeybee hive in a matter of hours, decapitating the bees and flying away with the thoraxes to feed their young. For larger targets, the hornet's potent venom and stinger, long enough to puncture a beekeeping suit, make for an excruciating combination that victims have likened to hot metal driving into their skin. The sting can kill even humans. Over the course of 3 months in 2013, Asian giant hornets killed 42 people and injured 1,675 in China. Japan reports that Asian giant hornets kills 50 people a year. Wow, maybe quarantining is not such a bad idea after all.
Bees!
Yeah, bees. It could be really bad. They're up in the Northwest now, but they're more accustomed and to a temperate climate, which of course means they're going to spread. And they'll be heading across the country and heading south for warmer climes. That's it. I'm going on eBay today and buying a suit of armor.
Bees! Bees! Bees in the car! Bees everywhere!
Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast, the Monday, 4th of May edition, 2020. And I hope you're having a good day. Oh, stop it. It is it's a good-looking day in our neighborhood. Going to hit the high 80s today here. And that's kind of nice. I like that. It's past time to dust off the little convertible and get it out of the garage. But sadly, there will not be time for that today. I wish there were, but not today. Ah, too much to do. Working on the lawnmower, working on other things. Got to get out and I've got a problem with the car, my car, the main car that I drive most of the time. First world problem. And it has a cracked exhaust manifold, and I've got to see about getting that tended to. And that is one of the objects of focus today. I'll be going to a shop in a nearby little town where I know I've heard from a handful of people that this guy who's a welder does a good job. And we're going to see if I can get that fixed today. And hopefully we can. I hope. I hope, 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 hope. And I also hope I don't encounter any ginormous.
Bees!
No, I don't want bees in my path today. Not at all. oh, my gosh. I've had negative encounters with stinging insects all my life. I got it when I was a kid. I got into a, what the heck was that? I got into a nest of yellow jackets. I got stung over 100 times, and it was just crazy, crazy, crazy. It was bad, bad stuff. But not as bad as some people are suffering now. I realize that with coronavirus, COVID-19, and mainly the fear factor. And this is something I've talked about before: is that there are a lot of politicians out there that are ramping up the fear factor. They're listening to people in medicine and people in science who are looking at worst case scenarios from a very clinical, what is the way? I was thinking about this over the weekend, and the terminology just slips my mind for some reason. I know why, but let's not talk about that. They look at it from a very clinical perspective, which doesn't tend to factor in the way life really works. I wish I could come up with a better terminology for that, but I'm not condemning science, and I'm not condemning medical experts. I'm not talking it down. I'm just saying, hey, when you look at the bigger picture, when you look at, you factor in human nature, you factor in behavior, you factor in certain things, and you factor in the history of the kind of thing we're talking about right now, which is a virus, a viral pandemic, then you have to remember the history of certain things and how they played out before. And when early on people looked at this and said, yeah, this kind of thing usually plays out over this period of the year, these months, when the changes in weather, heat and humidity happen, they tend to burn out. And we might see a relapse of it when it gets colder again, because that kind of thing happens every time this happens. But by then, we'll have enough people who have had it who are immune that it won't affect as many people, and so forth. So we have to factor all of those things in. And when liberals, progressives, leftists listen to these, quote, I'm air quoting, experts, then they don't take those things into consideration. they just say, well, the experts say that this is what's going to happen. They said millions of people could die. Well, yes, millions of people could die. Will they die? Probably not. Have millions of people died in recent modern history? No. Why? Look at the other factors. Look at the other factors. Worst case scenarios don't usually play out. That's something we have to remember. We just have to remember that. And I think people, as I've said, I said this last week, I think we were a couple of weeks from people being so incredibly ticked off about this and fed up with it that they're going to start being nasty about it. Now, we're already seeing people march on their state capitals and their mayor's homes and things like that and fighting back against the overwhelmingly negative way that they're being handled. Where I live, near where I live, there's a county sheriff. We live just in the edge of this county. I think I literally could throw a rock and it would land in the next county from where we live, because we're just over the county line. And in this county in which we live, the county sheriff, has said he's not going to enforce the governor's stay-at-home rules. If you're going to get out and you want to get your hair cut, you want to get your nails done, you want to go have a taco, then go. Our police officers are not going to harass you for it, and we're not going to shut down businesses and the like. And where I have business to do today happens to be within this county, and I am hoping that one of our favorite Mexican restaurants may actually have the guts to be open, because I could really use a good burrito, if you know what I mean. But people, more and more, I noticed over the weekend, because Jane and I were out yesterday, went to my mom's to help her with some stuff yesterday, and we noticed a lot more traffic, a lot more people out and about than there have been even a week before. People are tired of being told they have to stay at home. They're looking at other sources besides the evening news, and they're realizing they're not being told everything. And they're also shrugging their shoulders and saying, you know what? I'll chance it. This is crazy keeping us locked up. It's killing me because I can't make money. I can't buy groceries. I'll chance it. And I think that's only going to grow. Well, Apple's mobility trends report is showing that traffic in the United States and other countries like Germany has pretty much doubled in the past 3 weeks. So that is, it's happening everywhere. It had been down up to 72%. Location data provider Foursquare says gas and food visits are back to pre-COVID-19 levels in the American Midwest. Rural areas are following the same pattern. In a blog post over the weekend, Foursquare said, gas station traffic has returned to pre-COVID-19 levels in the Midwest and the rural areas throughout the country. Foot traffic to quick service restaurants has risen over the past several weeks. Whether governments, medical professionals, and scientists want it to or not, people seem to be tired of the situation, the shutdown, eager to get back to some semblance of normal life. Another sign of the impending return to normal? Grocery store visits. They're back down to normal levels after being 30 to 40% higher than normal in late March. People were trying to stock up for a long shutdown then. While the Apple data is measured by people searching Apple Maps for directions, the Foursquare data is captured by people actually visiting locations. 13 million Americans have granted the company permission to capture their data and use it in privacy-safe ways. While more people are going more places, it hasn't impacted a number of hard-hit industries yet. Gyms are still down 65 to 69%. Clothing stores, 72% down. Furniture stores, 56 to 60% down. Movie theaters, 75%. I'm surprised it's that low, actually. Nail salons, on the other hand, they're only down 38 to 42%. Hotels in the Midwest, 49% down, compared to a 63 to 70% decline in other regions of the country. Interestingly, as Apple's data from Canada shows, While driving and walking are edging back up to normal levels, people are avoiding transit, which is still down 79% from pre-coronavirus levels. Driving by yourself is safe, apparently, but sitting in a bus or on a train with hundreds of others is not. People are feeling the itch to get back to the real world. Officials begin the process of relaxing some businesses and restrictions, and we're starting to see upticks in foot traffic to various places. This is true across regions, regardless of state-specific policies. COVID-19 cases seem to have started to level off in the U.S., but there are still 1.1 million total cases. And some sources say 65,000, over 65,000 deaths. Although the CDC revised that downward a lot, and hardly anybody has mentioned it. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes before we get done, hopefully before we get done today. There are currently almost 900,000 active cases in America. The question is, or is that around the world? Oh, it's in America. The question is, as states start to open up and as people start to decide they're done with the quarantine and shelter-in-place policies, will that rise? Most likely it will, unless we adopt some measures like masks, social distancing, contact tracing of the infected. That's what's helped Taiwan limit the spread. Reaching herd immunity could result in more deaths, but trust me, it will never be as many as they predicted to begin with, and as the cold clinical facts and figures reporters will try to convince you will happen. Remember, they're not factoring everything in. They never do. Bees out of here. Stop. Cut it out. It is the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective. May the 4th be with you. It is a day after a weekend with not a heck of a lot going on besides what we talked about last week. And then again, yes, bees. But I mentioned the data, the CDC coronavirus data, in the previous segment, and I want to get back to that really quickly. It won't take too long to cover this because it is what it is. Despite the fact most media are reporting coronavirus has killed more than 67,000 Americans, the official Centers for Disease Control and Prevention website is showing now nearly half as many. The worldmeters.info site says there have been 67,224 deaths thus far from coronavirus. And most media all week long last week were reporting that figure of about 66,000. But according to the official CDC website, just 37,308 people, as of yesterday, had died of the disease in the United States. That figure includes confirmed and presumed coronavirus deaths. In addition, the CDC data show that the pandemic peaked in the United States the week of April 11th. That's now almost 3 weeks ago. Yet several states and cities are continuing or extending their current stay-at-home orders. I have stories in the show notes today about that. One extending all the way into July. Also, the number of COVID-19 deaths have been steadily decreasing since April 25th, according to the listed data, with some 93% of all coronavirus deaths occurring in people 55 and older. And as noted by Newsmax journalist John Cardillo, data reported on World Info is most likely a scam for attributing other causes of death to the virus in order to inflate the numbers. He says, "I'm well aware of the CDC lag times, but this isn't that. So stop with that excuse for these numbers. They've separated out other illnesses that were the actual causes of deaths, and now the mortality rate is half what it was last week. It's been nothing but a scam." And so he tweeted. Remember I told you last week about funeral homes? Mm-hmm. That Project Veritas had been interviewing people at funeral homes in New York and finding out that all of the deceased people that were coming into them were now labeled as COVID-19. And family member after family member were saying, I just visited them. Nobody was wearing, you know, face coverings. Nobody, they didn't require me to wear a mask. None of this person did not have COVID-19. But they're still tagged as having COVID-19. Another Twitter user retweeted a CDC post that said the hospitalization rates for COVID-19, which are cumulative, have started to level off, while noting that the rate of hospitalization is highest among adults 65 and older, and similar to what's been seen during a comparable time period during a recent high-severity flu season. You see, that's something you can't say amongst progressives. If you mention the flu, they will go off on you. Let's see here. Remember, the left-wing pundit class keeps telling us we're not supposed to compare coronavirus to the flu. Oh, no. This new data further undermines the health experts' coronavirus projection models. They claimed in March that more than 1 million people would die in the United States alone. In February, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases chief, Dr. Anthony Fauci, one of President Donald Trump's top coronavirus task force advisors, said in February, after looking at the data, it appeared that coronavirus was acting more like bad pandemic influenza. That means efficient spread, overall lower mortality, than like SARS, which is less efficiently spread and overall higher mortality. That's according to an update posted by the American Medical Association. So the initial reports, the initial things said about this have not panned out. As I said before, worst case scenarios rarely play out. And now the CDC has corrected their numbers and cut around 30,000 off of their figures. Almost 30,000. Off of their figures. I wonder where you'll hear about this. You won't hear about it from politicians, leftist politicians, because they worship at the foot of science. They worship, even though, please don't get me wrong, I realize that science is a pursuit of answers. It is not the answer. Science is the question. It is not necessarily the answer. And even when science finds answers, they keep seeking why they found the answer. They keep looking into more and more minutiae. So science is always seeking. And when we rely on what they find in stages along the way, along the path, and call it the final authority, we make a mistake, which is one reason that we have so much trouble and so many issues with man-made climate change claims, because those claims are based on the science process. And when we look more closely at that particular process, we find that the modeling is deeply flawed and that a lot of the assertions made are based on that flawed modeling, and people just don't question it. Oh, the scientists say they're experts, you know. They are. But they're experts in looking for answers, not necessarily delivering the answers. And when it comes back to the politicians, when they're a leftist, they're not looking for answers. They're looking for how to flex their muscle. For example, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. She threatened to issue citations and even arrest anyone who violated stay-at-home orders. Lightfoot issued a strong warning to her constituents who don't comply with the lockdown orders during a COVID-19 press conference Saturday, saying, "We will shut you down, we will cite you, And if we need to, we will arrest you and we will take you to jail. Don't make us treat you like a criminal. But if you act like a criminal and you violate the law and you refuse to do what is necessary to save lives in this city in the middle of a pandemic, we will take you to jail, period. Does that sound like a statement from someone who's actually paying attention to what's actually going on? That the curve is actually on the downward slope? That the cases, the case numbers, the reporting, the deaths, all of it are dropping? Does it? Or does it sound like the statement of someone who believes that she, as a politician, is the parent of the people and must wag her finger at them and tell them, don't make me come in there? That's what it sounds like to me. Mayor Lightfoot said that compliance with the stay-at-home order has gone down from 82 to 77% over the last week. Quote, this frankly doesn't come as a surprise, given the warm weather. We've all been cooped up. We all miss our friends, and we all want to go outside and gather in groups. However, those aspirations simply cannot become a reality in the middle of the pandemic. How about when we're on the downside of the pandemic, Mayor Lightfoot? How about then? Lightfoot also addressed the numerous house parties that have grabbed headlines in the past week, including one shindig that allegedly had 1,000 people. You know when those neighbors park all along the street and make it difficult to get through your neighborhood because they're having a little get-together? Can you imagine 1,000 people at somebody's place? Can you imagine? Yikes. She goes on to say, when you go out and party, when you go home to your mama, your grandma, or anybody in your household who has an underlying medical condition, you're bringing death to their doorstep. Death, I tell you. Yikes. Lightfoot said Chicago police broke up several social gatherings between 50 and 150 people Friday night. She added that the authorities were tipped off, keep that in mind, to at least 6 parties that were scheduled to happen Saturday night. She says, if you host a party, promote a party, or go to a party, we are not playing games. We mean business, and we will shut this down one way or another. The time for educating people into compliance is over. Don't be stupid. We're watching you, and we're going to take decisive action. Your actions are going to make a difference between whether or not we get out sooner or later, whether or not we have a summer or we do not. It's absolutely essential that we stay the course and people stay home. Whew. The time for educating people into compliance is over. In other words, you are too stupid to understand how severe this is. And we're going to punish you for not obeying us. CPD Superintendent David Brown said, we've lost officers to COVID-19. We've lost firefighters to COVID-19. They've given the ultimate sacrifice, willing to risk their lives to save all of us. For a silly party, you are risking first responders' lives. We've given enough warning. We're getting to the point where we're trying to save lives, and if our message is not resonating with people who are promoting parties or coming out to parties, we have to take that next level of enforcement to make sure that we save lives. Wow. Mayor Lightfoot, just as a reminder, is the same person who issued the edict that everybody had to lock in their home, stay at home, and not gather socially and do these things weeks ago. And then went and had her hair cut. This is the same person. Just in case you're thinking, this sounds familiar. Where do I know this from? That's where you know her from. She's the mayor who told everybody they couldn't get their hair cut. No, you can't get your hair done. You can't get your nails done. And then she went and had her hair done. Same person. And her reasoning was that, well, she's a public figure. She's got to appear on TV. She's got to look good. Really? If you really are one of the people and you're working on behalf of the people, don't you think it would be more effective if you actually appeared to them as one of them, Mayor Lightfoot? Don't you think possibly just wearing a scarf or a hat or something like that would be the wiser choice? So that you can laugh at the cameras and say, hey, I'm wearing this because I can't get my hair cut. You don't need to be doing it. Don't you think that would be more effective? Or is it more comfortable being the queen? Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective. The Monday edition, fourth day of March of May 2020. I have a couple of different things here I want to try to get to before we wrap things up. A little housekeeping first, though. A note to stick to your refrigerator. No podcast Wednesday. It's a daily podcast most of the time, but from time to time the schedule gets turned upside down on me and I just can't make that happen. So Wednesday is going to be a busy day and it starts kind of early and will prevent me from actually spending time in the studio to do this. So no podcast Wednesday, but back to Abby Normal on Thursday. All right? All right. Moving forward, there are, as I've told you, we're getting close to people just finally saying we're fed up with this and forget it. Just forget it. There was an airline pilot who made his sentiments known. It was just a pilot. He's not necessarily an airline pilot, I don't think, but he was a pilot who was out flying and carved out the letters FU in his pattern as he was out flying on the radar, on the record, just to let somebody know exactly what he thought about their stay-at-home policies. And now there's this rural county in California that's defying Governor Gavin Newsom's stay-at-home orders. They're allowing churches, schools, non-essential businesses to reopen during the coronavirus pandemic. Modoc County, in the far northeast corner of California, open for business. 9,686 people live there. They're allowing bars, restaurants, hair salons, movie theaters, schools, churches, and other non-essential businesses to have their freedom back, their liberty, and to reopen. As of Friday, non-essential businesses could reopen as long as employees wash their hands and follow proper social distancing guidelines of 6 feet. Restaurants and bars would have to slash their maximum capacity in half. Large gatherings where social distancing cannot be maintained are not permitted. The Modoc County Sheriff's Office and the county's public health department requires residents who are 65 or older or have underlying health conditions to continue to stay at home. And see, this is the smart way to do this. If we're going to move forward, if things are going to change, we have to get the economy kickstarted. We have to get back to work. We have to get things rolling again. And we have to be wise about how we do it and protect the most vulnerable among us, being those 65 or older. Two more California counties have decided to reopen with social distancing measures in defiance of the governor's stay-at-home order. The neighboring counties of Yuba and Sutter in Northern California appear to have followed in the steps of Modoc County. The Yuba County Public Health Office, this is what they say. This is a time for personal responsibility in minimizing our movements and physical interactions. It is up to all of us to show respect for each other's health and safety by adhering to guidance on facial coverings, social distancing, small group gatherings, and good hand hygiene. We cannot wait for a vaccine without seeing extreme economic damage done to our community, says Dr. Liu of the Yuba-Sutter County Health Office. The consequences of waiting will be additional health concerns brought on by stress and the very real dilemma for those who have limited resources, whether to buy life-saving food or life-saving medicines. So two or three now counties in California are telling Governor Gavin Newsom what he can do with his stay-at-home order. And then finally, there's this from Dennis Prager. He had an op-ed piece over on Daily Wire the other day that I read and thought, you know what? I've got to pass this along. So here is what Dennis Prager has to say. All my life, I've dismissed paranoids on the right. America is headed to communism. And on the left, it can't happen here, referring to fascism. It's not that I've ever believed liberty was guaranteed. Being familiar with history and a pessimist regarding the human condition, I never believed that. But the ease with which police state tactics have been employed and the equal ease with which most Americans have accepted them have been breathtaking. People will argue that a temporary police state has been justified because of the allegedly unique threat to life posed by the new coronavirus. I do not believe the data will bear that out. Regardless, let us at least agree that we are closer to a police state than ever in American history. Police state does not mean totalitarian state. America is not a totalitarian state. We still have many freedoms. In a totalitarian state, this article could not be legally published, and if it were illegally published, I would be imprisoned and or executed. But we are presently living with all four of the key hallmarks of a police state. Number one, draconian laws depriving citizens of elementary rights. The federal, state, county, and city governments are now restricting almost every freedom except those of travel and speech. Americans have been banned from going to work and thereby earning a living. Meeting in groups, both indoors and outdoors. Meeting in their cars in church parking lots to pray. And entering state-owned properties such as beaches and parks, among many other prohibitions. Number two, a mass media supportive of the state's messaging and deprivation of rights. The New York Times, CNN, and every other mainstream mass medium except Fox News, the Wall Street Journal, editorial and opinion pages only, and talk radio have served the cause of state control over individual Americans' lives just as Pravda served the Soviet government. In fact, there is almost no more dissent in the New York Times than there was in Pravda. And the big tech platforms are removing posts about the virus and potential treatments they deem misinformation. Number three, the use of police. Police departments throughout America have agreed to enforce these laws and edicts with what can only be described as frightening alacrity. After hearing me describe police giving summonses to or even arresting people for playing baseball with their children on a beach, jogging alone without a mask, or worshiping on Easter while sitting isolated in their cars in a church parking lot, a police officer called my show. He explained that the police have no choice. They must respond to every dispatch they receive. I asked, and why are they dispatched to a person jogging on a beach or sitting alone in a park? Because the department was informed about these lawbreakers. I asked, and who told the police about these lawbreakers? His answer brings us to the fourth characteristic of a police state. Snitches. How do the police dispatchers learn of lawbreakers such as families playing softball in a public park, lone joggers without face masks, etc.? From their fellow citizens snitching on them. The mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, set up a snitch line whereby New Yorkers were told to send authorities photos of fellow New Yorkers violating any of the quarantine laws. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti similarly encouraged snitching, unabashedly using the term. It is said that about one in every 100 East German citizens were informers for the Stasi, the East German secret police, as superbly portrayed in the film The Lives of Others. It would be interesting, and I think important to know, what percentage of New Yorkers informed on their fellow citizens. Now, again, you may think such a comparison is not morally valid, that de Blasio's call to New Yorkers to serve a Stasi-like role was morally justified given the coronavirus pandemic, but you cannot deny it is Stasi-like, or that, other than identifying spies during World War II, this is unprecedented in American history at anywhere near this level. This past Friday night, I gathered with six others for a Shabbat dinner with friends in Santa Monica, California. On my Friday radio show, I announced I would be doing that, and if I was arrested, it would be worth it. In my most pessimistic dreams, I never imagined that in America, having dinner at a friend's house would be an act of civil disobedience, perhaps even a criminal act. But that is precisely what happens in a police state. The reason I believe this is a dress rehearsal is that too many Americans appear untroubled by it. The dominant force in America, the left, supports it, and one of the two major political parties has been taken over by the left. Democrats and their supporters have, in effect, announced they will use state power to enforce any law they can to combat the even greater existential crisis of global warming. On the CNN website this weekend, in one of the most frightening and fanatical articles in an era of fanaticism, Bill Weir, CNN chief climate correspondent, wrote an open letter to his newborn son. In it, he wrote of his idealized future for America, quote, completely new forms of power, food, construction, transportation, economics, and politics. You cannot get there without a police state. If you love liberty, you must see that it is jeopardized more than at any time since America's founding. And that means, among other things, that at this time, a vote for any Democrat is a vote to end liberty. Dennis Prager. And that's coming from Daily Wire. Mr. Prager is 100% correct. These stages are happening. Number one was draconian laws depriving citizens of elementary rights. Number two, a mass media supportive of the state's messaging and deprivation of rights. Number three, the use of police. And number four, snitches. Somewhere in America, and it escapes me right now, but somewhere in America over the weekend, I read a story that somewhere a government official demanded of a pastor the names of everyone who broke the stay-at-home commands to appear for worship services. If that doesn't chill you to the bone, I don't know what will. A politician using the force and power of his political authority to threaten a religious institution and demand to know who showed up. Names, addresses, phone numbers. If that doesn't sound like Nazi Germany to you, I don't know what to say to you. I really don't. But I do have to say goodbye. That's it for today. God bless you. Have a great Monday. We'll see you back here for the Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.